The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to play their third game of the year. Still looking for win number one. They've obviously had some very nice performances in game one and game two until the last 2 minutes of the game, at which everything went haywire. And they've not been able to walk away with a win as of yet. They do, however, have 2 out of the 4 possible points they could have earned. So it's not the worst outcome in the world. It just felt that way after both of those losses, equally tragic in their own unique way. But that's why we keep on getting ready for the next day. Now the Sharks have yet another opportunity. And today will be the debut of Michael Mesa. Immediately, Michael Mesa brings an offensive threat, but also brings a level of maturity for an 18-year-old that I don't think most of us are used to. I was definitely impressed with it when I met him right after the draft at the development camp for all the Sharks prospects, but I'm just looking forward to him having an opportunity tonight to show what he can do. We've been watching other young players around the league have a little bit of success, so I would like to watch and see what Michael Mesa can do in tonight's game. And also, Ryan Warsowski said yesterday that, you know, it doesn't matter, especially on the defensive side of things, whether you're a veteran, whether you're a young guy, they need to step it up. So maybe by bringing more of these young guys into the lineup, this is sending a bit of a message to some of those veterans that, hey, we've got young talent in the pipeline. You guys need to step it up, particularly in the crunch moment. Now, again, I'm not speaking for head coach Ryan Warsowski. I'm just trying to go off my own interpretations of the message he might be trying to send. More on Michael Mesa. He did speak with the media. He was asked about his thoughts going into this game, his debut in the NHL.
A lot of excitement, obviously, and you know, a moment I've been waiting for. So going to try to make the most of it and help the team get the 2 points.
Mesa was also asked about how difficult it's been for him to sit on the sidelines for those first two games.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that hard. It's just, you know, your time will come. And, you know, for those first two games, it was actually good for me to, you know, kind of look at some of the centermen on our team and, you know, watch their game, learn stuff from them. And, it definitely helps. So, feeling ready.
And Mesa was also asked about what he's learned from Ty Dellandrea, who he will be on a line with.
Yeah, you know, I take 30 draws with Deli after every practice and, you know, kind of read off each other, giving each other tips. And, you know, it's great to have him on my line. So, especially for face-offs in general, if it's on the left side, I could take it. If it's on the right side, he could take it. So it gives us, you know, more options.
He shared his thoughts on going up against Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're like man-on-man all over the ice, so it's just got to be like quick plays and, you know, trying to expose the guy that's on you, try and get a two-on-one, anywhere around the ice because, teams that play man-on-man, it's hard to break, but if you can't break them, usually it's to a scoring chance, so it's probably the way.
As for what he's hoping for on his first shift?
Yeah, get the puck on my stick and, you know, try and make a play. Finish a hit, block a shot, something, just get me involved and, I'll go from there.
Andy was asked about how long he thinks he'll stay out there on his rookie lap, if it'll be as long as the 40 to 45 seconds that Dickinson was out there.
Whatever they want. I'm just going to go out there and shoot a couple of pucks and I'm sure they'll come on soon enough, so.
Head coach Ryan Warsowski was asked why tonight is the right time for Mesa to make his NHL debut.
Yeah, I think the pace. I think the structure of it. They're not so much a running. We know exactly what they're doing. One is I was there for a little bit. And I kind of know Roddy, but that's every coach in the NHL. They're one of the best, and that's a credit to Rod and his staff of getting that team to play one way for the last 7 years. They plug guys in and they get it going. So. I think there's some predictability in the game, and I think that makes Mesa a little bit more comfortable.
Which makes sense, as now Mesa has had a couple of games to watch what the Sharks are doing from the outside. Now he can go and see what it feels like on the inside. Head coach Ryan Warsowski was also asked about what his team needs to do better overall after these first couple of games.
I think we got to be more connected coming out of our own end and knowing where pucks are going, a little bit more predictability You know, I think at times we'll get pucks below the goal line. We got to have more poise to make that next play. And then on the flip side of that is we got to push them back a little bit. They're going to be right up on us. Again, you know exactly how we know exactly how they play. So we got to push them back, push their D back. Their D can skate and they'll be gapping up and surfing on you. So got to push them back with some puck play.
Worsowski was also asked about Colin Graf, who's not in tonight's lineup, and what the message to him might be.
Yeah, I mean, we want to get our fourth line's been really good, so didn't want to touch that. Obviously, want to get Meese in there. You know, it's not like Graffer's been playing horrible by any means. It's more like to see a little bit more conviction out of his game. You know, playing on the inside, finishing checks, and don't expect him ever to be a guy that, you know, puts guys into the boards and breaks the glass. But we need a little bit more conviction out of him. He's been good in the penalty kill, so we're going to miss him in that area. But again, early in the season, we don't want to keep guys out too long here. I want to get some guys some different looks.
Orzo was also asked about the penalty kill, and he had some thoughts.
Worked on it today. We've had numerous meetings about it. Going to keep working on it. You know, find our personnel that works. You know, obviously, we're trying to find some guys up front that can do it and do it consistently. It's been the challenge. But, you know, Doug's done a pretty good job of, you know, ironing out the kinks here and getting it, you know, improving it. One thing is to improve it is to stay out of the box, you know. It's one thing to give up two opportunities, but we can't be given four, five, six opportunities to teams. Eventually, the dam's going to break. So we'll keep working on the details of it and get better at it. It's early in the season, getting on everyone on the same page. Similar to 5-5 is a special team, so you got to keep working on it.
So some thoughts there from head coach Ryan Worsowski as the Sharks navigate the first couple games of the year and now get set for the third game of the year. Tonight at 7 from SAP Center, pregame 6:30. As Dan Rusinowski and Jamal Mayers will be on the call right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Taking a look at some more of the news coming out for tonight's game. Like you heard him say, no Colin Graf tonight, no Shakir Mukhmudulin. Looks like Nedeljkovic is going to be taking the net for San Jose tonight. Eklund, Celebrini, Toph on the top line. Skinner, Wenberg, Smith, second line. Kurashev, Misa, Delandria on the third line. Goodrow, Gaudette, Reeves on the fourth line. Defensive pairings, Ferraro, Orlov, Letty, Liljegren, Dickinson, Klingberg. So some minor changes there, and we'll see what exactly transpires during the game. But obviously, you really want to see a bounce back for the entirety of the team. Also, Nedeljkovic in particular, because he got done dirty by the hockey gods in that game. That's how it goes. And I think that I'm very excited to see him have a good performance tonight against this Carolina team. I wanted to give you more of that interview that I did with Eric Stevens of The Athletic that I did not get to play all of in the last edition of The Build-Up, but he was talking about the Pacific Division, and I asked him, you know, about a team like Anaheim and beyond, as it seemed like there were three teams. There was LA, there was Edmonton, there was Vegas, and then there was everyone else in the division.
See, I hate to be wrong, so.
I didn't say I liked it.
I am wrong a lot, but, you know. No, you know what? I feel, you know, Ted, that I feel the division overall is going to be more competitive. And I think the group that's kind of been at the bottom is going to make it harder for those at the top of the division to gain points, you know, because, like I said, San Jose is going to be more competitive. Anaheim's going to be, I mean, they're talking playoffs, mm-hmm. you know, this year in terms of being in that mix. So they're going to be more competitive. You know, Seattle's maybe the one I sort of really kind of wonder where they're going with whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you mentioned those three. And while I still feel like in some ways they kind of are the class of the division, and I think maybe Vegas, I mean, when you add Mitch Marner, yeah, you know, they've had some subtractions and maybe their defense might be a little bit more iffy, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But when you add, you know, when you add talent like that, they're going to be right there at the very top. And we know Edmonton, we know their story, you know, in a way, but you know, wild cards like Calgary and Vancouver, which way can they go? They could go upward. They could go downward. You know, it's going to be a real interesting division to see if, say, the teams at the bottom are going to be able to maybe leap enough to, you know, maybe pick off one of those top three or so, or at least maybe move into the wild card mix. Mm-hmm. You know, right? So far, you know, you've seen how so, you know, difficult the Central is, and the Central have five teams, you know, make the playoffs. Are one of these teams in the Pacific here maybe going to grab one of those wild card spots? I think it's possible here. So, you know, I think the Vegas and LA and Edmonton, there is a chance that they may step back just a tad, just because I think that the Seattle's and the Anaheim and the San Jose's, you know, of this division are going to make it, at least make it tougher to gain points when they do match up.
I do think it's interesting that you referenced the Central, because I was going to go there. And, you know, you look at a team like Nashville and how they're trying to reestablish themselves, and you start talking about all these other teams. Everybody but Florida at the end of last year said, we've got to get better. And that's the vein that's gone through all of the NHL. And it's becoming very reminiscent of the NFL, where you can have these teams that suddenly pop up into the mix. They go up, they go down. The parity is there across the board. But now, you know, I think that both these two divisions in the West, I mean, I like to think I have a clear picture of things, but, you know, there's changes in Dallas. There's new faces in Colorado. And, like, everything is just leaving me with a huge, huge question mark. And I feel like I have more question marks entering this year than maybe I ever have.
You're right. I mean, when I was looking at it the other day in terms of, okay, who are, say, the decisive favorites in the West? I'm not sure there is a clear number one.
Yeah.
You know, yes, Edmonton has come out, you know, has represented the conference in the last two Stanley Cup finals, and it's possible that they could, you know, get to a third. But, you know, there's, you know, you wonder, you know, a little bit about the Connor McDavid's, you know, situation and his contract. Although I think everyone knows that he can just write his own ticket whenever he wants. But, you know, they don't, you know, they're not going to be a full squad at the start, because Zach Hyman's going to be missing some time, right, you know, early on. And they've had some changes. Dallas, you know, they've been kind of the perpetual bridesmaid here. In terms of being a great regular season club that can't seem to break through that sort of Vegas and Edmonton, you know, roadblock that they've run into the last few years. And we've talked about, some of the other quality clubs. I mean, Colorado, you know, no one really talks about Colorado, strangely enough.
Yeah.
But it's possible they could be the one that's best positioned, and I'm sure they're going to be motivated, you know, kind of coming up short and you know, suffering earlier exits than you would anticipate, you know, here going forward. So I'm not so sure that there is a decisive number one in the West. And I think that's going to make this, you know, this very, very interesting, you know, in terms of, you know, which of those teams is going to ultimately wind up, you know, at the top near the end, taking on whether it's Florida once again, or, you know, someone that does rise up out of the East and, you know, challenges and maybe even overtakes them.
Just a last one on the East, because I'm taking way too much of your time. You're too darn interesting. If I love the way Florida plays. Their injury situation and the unknowns does not bode well. So I am thinking that someone else will emerge. Again, good at being wrong. We'll go back to this when Florida is in the Cup final again. But if it's not Florida, who is it then you think that's coming out of the East?
Well, I tell you what, I've learned by now that that is hard, especially now. It's hard to bet against the one that is at the top. And yes, you know, no Barkov, you know, probably for most of the regular season, if not all, and obviously no Kachuk, deep into the schedule, but there's still a lot of good players on that squad. And they're at that stage where it's like, okay, they just need to get in. as long as they get into the tournament, then now, you know, then it becomes a different deal and they become one of the favorites. But, you know, if you think about others here, you know, it's hard to say Toronto because we've seen what's happened with them, but yeah. You know, they're a little bit different of they're a little bit of a different makeup now. You know, they're not, you know, it's not no longer the core four with Marner now in Vegas. You know, and they're, I think they've tried to consciously shift their team towards being more of a playoff style club. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still obstacles that they've got to get, you know, fit, whether physically or even mentally, given what that franchise has gone through. But, you know, maybe this might finally be the year that the Leafs, you know, break through and at least get to a conference final and at least get among the final four and, you know, get on among the mix. But I think in a way, the East is really wide open after, you know, Florida. You know, it's does Tampa have one more run left in them? You know, Washington, you know, certainly they had a wonderful regular season last year. Did they do enough to maybe have a run in what will probably be Alex Ovechkin's final season here? I really believe that, you know, Montreal, are they now ready to, you know, not just be a kind of a surprise playoff team, but now be a serious contender? You know, are they at that stage just yet? I really do believe that after Florida, it's pretty darn wide open, even in the East as well.
So great stuff there with Eric Stevens of The Athletic as we get ready for today's game against Carolina. And for San Jose, I think it's also a matter of just being that much more structured and disciplined, especially after the way that the game against Anaheim went. They had trouble getting out of their own end. We saw them just being a little bit sloppy at times. We saw them, you know, turn the puck over in some bad situations, guys trying to do too much and putting it all on their own shoulders. But those are the things that they have to be wary of. Those are the things that they have to do better. Those are the things that will account for growth. And I think that is the overall narrative for this year. Everyone wants to see growth. Growth is not just from what we saw 1 year ago. It's from mistakes that are made along the way. What's Macklin Celebrini going to learn out of games 1 and 2 this year? Game number one, I still think he was getting over his rust out of not playing much in the preseason. Game number two, he looked like himself. He was playing at an extremely high level. He had 3 points on the night. And when the game was on the line in overtime, he put it all on his shoulders, forgetting that he had the team around him, that he had support, tried to win it in one play as opposed to knowing and maintaining puck possession, which is how you win games in 3-on-3 overtime. That is what he needs to learn. You go beyond him and you look at Yaroslav Askarov, who made some mistakes, had some pucks that he should have stopped. Okay, it's his first start of the year. Can he rectify those mistakes going forward? Can he shake off a bad performance and look like everything that we know he's capable of being in net? That's the big question for him. That's where he has to find his quote-unquote growth. Even Alex Nedeljkovic tonight, can he shake off what he had happen in game number one and put forth a good performance where he doesn't make what I think we are calling mental mistakes, but I think that's just the one that I don't take that much umbrage with is the bad bounce. That's just weird. The one where he slightly hesitated coming out in overtime, he wishes he could have that one back. I really can't blame him for what happened on that third goal, the game-tying goal. That's just life in sports. As I like to say, when you enter the arena of sports, you acknowledge you're entering an arena where anything can happen. And Alex Nedeljkovic obviously found out that anything can and will happen at any moment. And that's something that you've got to be ready for. That's something that you've got to be prepared for. And I'm not holding that one against him. I think that he is probably holding it against himself and he's going to want to come back with a much bigger performance. But for me, I'm not too upset out of his performance in game number one. There was 2 freak plays, one of which he had some control of, one of which I think he had just about no control over. But again, these are the growth things. And then also cutting down on the penalties. That's a team-wide thing. Making sure that when you have the puck that you're controlling it, that you're not just chucking it around. These are team-wide things. These are things that Ryan Warsawski's now had a couple of days to look at. Team has not played since Saturday night. That means they had all of Sunday. They had all of Monday to rest, ready, be prepared. They play tonight. Then they've got a away and home Friday night at Utah, Saturday night back home against the Pens. So the Sharks are getting in more of the rhythm of the season. Will that improve their play, especially with so much turnover and especially with so many new faces in the lineup? All right, we are out of time. Again, remember, we are 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock go time tonight. Dan Rusinowski and Janelle Mayers on the call as the San Jose Sharks play host to the Carolina Hurricanes. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
got away with it. Got it to Kurashev and now to Celebrini. Here comes Macklin to center. It across the blue line. Gets tripped up there as he crosses the blue line. Delayed penalty coming up against Mason McTavish of Anaheim as the extra skater now is going to come on for the Sharks. At the near side boards, it's picked up by Will Smith. Sends it back in. Toffoli scores! What a pass by Will Smith, perfectly placed, and Tyler Toffoli didn't even waste a moment. He let that shot go, whipped it past Mrazek during the delayed penalty, and the Sharks have the 1-0 lead at 3:40 of the first period.